Good morning, church family. The first reading is from Samuel, chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Hannah's prayer. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking and so proudly, or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for food, but those who were hungry are hungry no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. On them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful servants, but the wicked will be silenced in the place of darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be broken. The Most High will thunder from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." The second reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 56. Mary visits Elizabeth. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zachariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Mary's song. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to the merciful, to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Thanks be to God. May I please, at this time, thank my church family for their love, prayers and help they have given me. Thank you to Paul and Heather, the elders, everyone who does work for our church. And may I praise the Lord for leading Esme and Lloyd to me, to bring me to this place. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Paul.
Back again. Beautifully read, as always, Christine. I would encourage you to have your Bibles open at 1 Samuel chapter 2 and also Luke chapter 1 as well. Got your usual outline there. And I'm going to pray first. Yeah, Heavenly Father, just be with us now for this short while as we think about the great things you have done, and help us to be thankful. Help us to focus on your word, meditate on your word, and learn from your word this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in Luke chapter 1 verse 49, which is kind of the key verse for me, the mighty one, that's God, has done great things for me, and holy is his name. That's what Mary says. So, what great things has the mighty one, God, done for you? Without any prompting from me, Christine just told us what the mighty one's done for her. So, maybe we should think about that and write something down this morning. After all, King David in Psalm 103 says this: praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. In other words, don't forget what God's done for you. So I'm going to give you a minute or so. You're going to write down or think about what great things the mighty one God has done for you. Bit different, we don't normally do stuff like this, but a minute's going to be a long time standing here. It's close enough. Someone tell me anything. What have you got, Margaret?
We saved him from hellfire and damnation.
Okay, he saved us from hellfire and damnation, yep. Leads and guides you in your walk each day. Anyone else? Yes, Terry.
My brother-in-law has been depressed for some time.
Yeah.
Disrupted our Christmas celebrations enormously.
Yep.
But
praise the Lord.
And even talk to them.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And I know that they help mentor.
Comes from the maker of heaven and earth, doesn't it? Well, a couple of things to think about that I didn't write down just now, but I had thought about. He sent Jesus to save us from sin and death, which is pretty much what Margaret was saying. He's given us his word. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us our wife or husband. He's given us our family. He's given us our church family. Provides food, clothes and shelter. Answers prayers, as Terry's just pointed out. It's an endless list, isn't it? Well, in our two Bible readings today, we have two women, Hannah and Mary, both rejoicing over the birth of a baby, but in totally different circumstances. So we'll take a look at both stories and see what great things the Mighty One has done for them, and then we'll look at what the Mighty One has done for us, okay? So we'll turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2, and we'll see what the Mighty One did for Hannah. The context we need to get from chapter 1 is that a woman named Hannah cannot have a child, and she's being ridiculed by her husband's other wife, Peninnah. It's not a good idea to have more than one wife, I've decided. Every time Hannah and her husband Elkanah and his other wife Peninnah, they went up to the house of the Lord, Hannah was ridiculed because she can't have a child. And her husband says to her in chapter 1 verse 8, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" What a great thing to say to his wife, eh? I can just imagine me, if something happened to one of Heather's cats, and me saying, "Don't I mean more to you than 10 cats?" How do you think that would go?
Not well.
Not well, no. That's why I've got that office out there, all right? Okay. Not the best thing to say, okay. But Hannah prayed. That's a good thing to do. In verse 11 of chapter 1, and said, "Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life." What a prayer. So Hannah prays, and she becomes pregnant. God answers her prayer. And they call the baby Samuel, which means heard of God, because God's heard her prayer. And when the son was weaned, Hannah dedicated her son to the Lord's service in the house of the Lord. And so then we pick up today's reading from chapter 2. And her prayer says what God has done. Now remember, she's just made the biggest sacrifice of her life. She's been blessed with a son, but she's given him straight back to the Lord to serve the Lord. And she'd be lucky if she sees him once a year. But look at what she says in verse 1 of chapter 2. Her heart rejoices in the Lord. Could we do that? But notice she rejoices in the Lord. She can't rejoice in leaving her son behind, but she can rejoice in the Lord. In the most desperate situations, when we can't rejoice in anything else, we can certainly still rejoice in the Lord. And look how she feels in verse 1. She says, "In the Lord my horn is lifted high." Now what that means is a horn represents strength. When people looked at the ox and they saw the horn, that was their strength. So Hannah's feeling strong, like she's been lifted up by God because he answered her prayer. She feels so strong, in verse 2, she can boast over her enemies. Those who've been ridiculing her about not being able to have a child, especially Peninnah. And God has delivered her from that ridicule. And she realizes something important in verse 2, that God is holy like no one else. He's unique. And she says it in a different way. There is no one besides you, God. As far as Hannah is concerned, God is a solid rock foundation she can build her life on. And we can say the same thing. God is the rock solid foundation we can build our lives on. He doesn't change. She then goes on to describe God as a God of reversal. He reverses situations. God can deal with the proud and the arrogant in verse 3. Hannah tells the proud and the arrogant not to speak because God knows everything, and in comparison, we know nothing. And God even knows our hearts, and He will judge our words and our thoughts and our actions. And she goes on to say that God can reverse the fortunes of those proud and arrogant in lots of ways. Those who are trusting in themselves and not God. In verse 4, if they're relying on their military weapons, God can break those anytime He likes. Those who are proud because they've got food on the table, He can change that to them begging for food. Those who have many children can then be pining because all those children have moved out and they're lonely. It doesn't pay to be proud and arrogant and to rely on ourselves and to not rely on God. That's what Hannah's prayer is. And God can also reverse the fortunes of those who are weak. He can supply food for those who are hungry. And the woman who can't have children, suddenly she can have 7 children. God can reverse things. The bottom line is God is in control. In verse 6, He's in control of life and death. He's in control of who has poverty and who has wealth. And in verse 7, He humbles, that means brings them low so people don't have tickets on themselves and get too proud. And He can exalt, lift people up who are struggling. Hannah knew that God first set her low and closed her womb. And he knew God brought her high again and opened her womb. And the reason that Hannah knows God is in control is because of verse 8. Because the very foundations of the earth belong to God. He's a creator of everything. And she also knows that God will always look after His faithful servants like Hannah, who never gave up on God and just prayed and prayed, just like Terry said. But the wicked, she says, will remain stuck in the darkness of their sin because they're too proud to come back to God. And verse 9, human strength can't prevail because anyone who's opposing God with that strength, God will oppose them and break them. You see, God uses His power to set things right. And it isn't enough for us to believe God has this power. We must also know that He will use His power for His glory and His righteousness. God is so in control of everything that at the end of verse 10, Hannah says, God will give strength to His king and exalt the horn or the strength of His anointed one. Now, at the time of Hannah, Israel didn't have a king. No human king, anyway. And they didn't seem to want one just then. So when Hannah spoke of a king, she looked forward to the Messiah king who would finally set all wrongs right. He is God's anointed one, Jesus. This is the first place in the Bible where God's anointed one, Jesus, is referred to as the Messiah. So what great things has the Mighty One done for Hannah? He's provided her with a son. and delivered her from ridicule. He's given her insight into how he will make right all the wrongs in this world. And he's given her insight into sending a Messiah king, which leads us into our New Testament passage from Luke chapter 1. If you want to turn there, Luke chapter 1, verse 39 to 56. It leads us into what the Mighty One has done for Mary. Now, when Mary found out she was to have a son through the power of the Holy Spirit, we pick up the story in verse 39 to 40. She hurried to her cousin Elizabeth's home in the hill country of Judea. There's a couple of reasons why Mary's going there. She can avoid the awkward questions about her own pregnancy, which is out of marriage. She can share the news of her pregnancy with Elizabeth, her cousin, who's also expecting. Now, recently, two of our daughters were pregnant at the same time, and they shared all those prenatal things women do, the morning sickness, the baby kicking, the ultrasounds, the plans for the nursery, all the things that us blokes just tune out from. But it was a lovely bonding time for them, and it's a lovely bonding time for Mary and Elizabeth. Now, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, two amazing things happened in verse 41. Elizabeth's baby, which is we know is John the Baptist, leapt inside her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we shouldn't just gloss over that. We need to understand what's going on. Because earlier in Luke chapter 1, verse 15, when the angel said that the baby that Elizabeth would carry, which is John, the angel said that baby would be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. So through the Holy Spirit, John, inside Elizabeth's womb, recognizes the Lord in Mary's womb and leaps for joy. It's not just like a baby kicking. So let's not just misread that. And the Spirit communicates that joy to Elizabeth, the mum. And the baby John is not yet born, and Zechariah, the father, well, he can't speak because he's been struck dumb. Yet Elizabeth believed the word of the Lord given to her through her husband Zechariah in the temple. And in the temple, Gabriel told Zechariah that their promised son would make ready people prepared for the Lord. And Elizabeth believed that the baby inside Mary's womb was the Lord himself. Verse 43. She could only know that because Elizabeth has been filled with the Holy Spirit herself in verse 41. So the Holy Spirit's playing an amazing part in this whole thing. And Elizabeth also recognized that Mary's faith played an active role in receiving that promise from God. God promises should never make us passive and just sit there. They should prompt us to seize that promise by faith. Elizabeth wanted to encourage Mary's faith, so she declared in verse 45, "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promise." Now, with that, Mary breaks into a song. Her song is similar to Hannah's prayer. The song is called the Magnificat in Latin. Comes from the first few words of that prayer in Latin. And as well as resembling Hannah's prayer, Mary's song also makes a lot of references to the Old Testament, which maybe you can look at home. But it shows Mary was a woman who studied and knew God's word. The scriptures were on her heart. and she knew her Bible. We can learn from Mary and study and know and have scriptures on our hearts too, so we can give a word in season to people. And her heart for God's word came through in her song. Perhaps she might have thought about Hannah's prayer on her travels to Elizabeth's house, which would have taken her a couple of days at least. Now, in this song, Mary catalogues what the Mighty One has done for her. Verse 47, she glorifies the Lord that he has provided her with a Saviour. And notice she says, my Saviour, because just like us, she's sinful. Just like us, she needs a Saviour to take away our sin and her sin. She understands the great privilege and honour she has in carrying the Lord as her baby, and that she is greatly blessed. And that's why in verse 49, that verse, the Mighty One has done great things for me, holy is his name. The song celebrates God's goodness, faithfulness and power. The song shows the futility of trusting in ourselves. God scatters the proud who trust only in themselves, but he shows mercy to those who trust in him, and he lifts up the humble. The song shows futility in trusting in military and political power. God brings down rulers from their thrones. Where are all the great empires now? God is the only king and ruler. And her song says God will always help his servant Israel because of the promises he made to Abraham and his descendants. Because God always keeps his promises. And this song also shows the futility of trusting in wealth and riches instead of God. And that we shouldn't forget that wealth is only possible because God allows it. And so the song says, so those who are hungry are filled, verse 53. And those who are trusting in their wealth and riches instead of God are sent away empty. Just like Hannah's prayer, Mary's song is a reversal of fortunes too. So what great things has the Mighty One done for Mary? He's blessed her with the privilege of carrying the Son of God, the Messiah, the Saviour of the world, and there really is no greater honour than that. He's given her insight into how his goodness and faithfulness and power all work. He's shown her that he is a God who always keeps his promises, and he is a God who reverses fortunes, and nothing is impossible for him. So we come back to where we began. What has the Mighty One done for us? He's reversed our fortunes too. Our sin and rebellion, Paul says in Romans 6:23, deserves punishment. He says, for the wages of our sin is death. But through the promise of the Messiah in Hannah's prayer and through the fulfillment of that promise in the virgin birth through Mary, the birth of Jesus, we now have a way to be right with God, because the rest of that verse from Romans 6:23 has a huge but in it. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the Mighty One, as well as all the other things that he gives us, the Mighty One offers us a free gift of forgiveness and eternal life through the Christmas gift of Jesus. That's what he's done for us, amongst many other things. So how should we respond? Well, first, we need to accept his gift of grace, if we haven't already. And then we need to express our most heartfelt thanks. Not like those guys down the front there. Sorry, guys. We need to express our heartfelt thanks for the gift of grace, of sending his Son. Then our response can be found in a great passage from Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 10, where it says, "For it is by grace, God's free gift, you have been saved through faith in Jesus." But notice, even that's not from ourselves. Even our faith is a gift from God. Not by works, so we can't work our way to heaven, so we don't boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Which kind of fits in with what Lloyd began the service with, doesn't it? That he wants to see Christians in action, right? No collusion with Lloyd this morning, by the way. He just said that. But we're created to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. So if that's the case, one of those good works must surely be to share that gift of grace, of Jesus, to everyone that we know. Surely got to be one of the first things we do. And perhaps we could write our own prayer of what God has done for us. I'm happy to print them in the bulletin if anyone does that, if you send it to me. And I'll leave with this. Our prayer must surely be for praying for God to reverse the fortunes of those who don't know Jesus yet and who are currently lost, like that little sheep over there in the corner, lost from God. Our prayer must be that they will be found. Then we can put our Christian walk into action. Let's pray. Yeah, Heavenly Father, thank you that you promised the Messiah through Hannah. You fulfilled it through Mary. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he saved us. Help us to share our faith and to show our faith by bearing fruit, by supporting those in need, by looking for the lost, by helping the lost. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.